We're in a series entitled Life-Giving Relationships. And you remember that last week we focused on and talked about our purpose, our mission, about our why. Everybody in life or the world tells us that we want to be successful, right? But God tells us that He wants us to have significance. Do you remember the difference in that? We find ourselves in success, but we lose ourselves in significance. When we are bigger than our purpose, we have a career. But when our purpose is bigger than us, we have a calling. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, about yours and my calling in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I want to begin by asking you a couple of questions. And you may want to write these questions down. I would encourage you to think about these questions over the week. And here's the first one. It's real simple. It's short. And it goes like this. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? The second question is, who do you know that is in desperate need of hope? Who do you know that is in desperate need of hope? Now, I know we don't like to think about those kinds of questions. We don't like to talk about those questions. And the reason is because those questions make us accountable. But I want to remind you is that the Creator of the universe already put this in your being. You see, all of us have a desire to live in eternity with our Creator. Some of us are just looking at the wrong things that we believe are going to bring us true happiness or joy. But God has put it in our DNA to want to join with Him and live in eternity with Him. But that's not all He put there. He also put a desire in each of our lives to want to bring as many as we can with us. Now, I don't know if you've been paying attention to any of the latest business journals or anything about church leadership, but the two things that everybody's talking about in the world right now and have been for a little while is culture and mission. The culture is the people that you do it with. The mission is your why. And we know that when our why becomes bigger than us, that's when we become successful. Or maybe we should say significant. And that's what we want to be. We want to be significant in the world. Even businesses want to have significance in the world. Success comes and it goes, right? I'll never forget Deion Sanders. He had worked his entire life to get to where he was. And then he was playing in the Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl. And when all was said and done, you know what he asked? Is this it? Is this all there is? You know what he did next? He drove his car off a riverbank. Did you know that? He was done with life. You know what saved him? He had a Mercedes. It was too well built of a car, and it saved his life. I want you to understand that as a church, we have a mission. We have a mission statement. We have a vision statement. And I want you to know that it came from the Lord Jesus. Every vision statement, every mission statement that any church has, it all comes from the vision statement that Jesus gave us. I want you to know we don't need to go on a retreat. We don't need to have a bunch of meetings and talk about what our strategy is going to look like. Jesus gave us the mission. He gave us the vision, and He gave it to us 2,000 years ago. And this is what it is. There it goes. We are to make disciples by baptizing them and teaching them to obey. That's the vision statement that God has given to us. This is our mission. But the issue is not about, okay, do we have a vision statement? The issue is, have we accepted it? Have you believed it? Well, how do we know if we've believed it? It's real simple. Jesus tells us that our actions follow what we believe. And so if we believe the vision, the mission statement that God has given to us as individuals and as a church, the rest of the world will see it in our actions. The Apostle Paul was a very great strategist when it came to teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when he went to Corinth, he made friends with a man by the name of Justin, and his house was located right next to the synagogue. As Paul was preaching, there was a very well-known leader in the city by the name of Crispus. He was the leader of the synagogue. The Bible tells us that when Crispus heard the message of Jesus Christ from Paul, that he bowed his knee. The whole community was in shock. They couldn't believe it, that this Crispus had been swayed and proclaimed the name of Jesus. You know what he did next? The Bible tells us that Crispus went to his family and shared with them what he had learned. Here's the results. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord. And many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. Did you hear that, fathers? Did you hear that, grandfathers? The gospel was shared with the family, and the entire household believed. Now, that's what I call an impact, don't you? Stand with me out of respect for God's word as we read together from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. And can we read it on the screen, Ben? Can we do that? On the side screens? There we go. Let's read it together. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is God's word for God's people. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may I buy into the mission that you've given to me. And thank you for inviting me to join you in your plan to redeem a lost world. I want to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You want to know something that I'm very passionate about? My family. I'm very passionate about my family. You mess with my family and you mess with me. But you know what I'm passionate about with them? Is that I want my family to spend eternity with me in heaven with Jesus. I want my family, every one of them, to be in eternity, to be in heaven with me. And I've given them a gift. You know what that gift is? The gift of knowing. The gift of knowing where I will be. For on that day when the Lord calls me home, I want you to know I will be more alive then than I am now. And I will be in the presence of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want every one of my children, my grandchildren, and if God allows me to see my great-grandchildren, I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are there too. So everything I do in this earth and on this earth and in this life has everything to do with accomplishing that mission that God has given me. Have I done it perfect? No. Have I made mistakes? You better believe it. But there's one thing that I've learned right off the bat is that I cannot do it on my own. But with Christ, I can do all things. And so as we talk about the mission that God has given to us, I want us all to recognize, here's our first mission. Share Jesus with those in my world. In Luke chapter 8, there's a story of a man who is very, very sick. In fact, he is possessed by a legion of demons. Now, before I go any further, I need to explain something about where Jesus is. Jesus has gotten in a boat, and he's gone with his disciples to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. This is the place known as the Decapolis. Sometimes it's called the Gerasenes. The rest of the world knew this as the dark side. This was the place where the Gentiles and the unbelievers lived. So Jesus goes over to this place, and while he's there, this very sick man approaches Jesus. And you know what Jesus does? He heals him. And the man is so thankful. He is so grateful to what Jesus has done. He asked Jesus, I want to follow you. You know what Jesus said? Nope. Nope. Not going to happen. Watch this. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him. Now, he didn't just ask him, he begged him. But Jesus sent him away saying, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Now, here's what I want to make sure that we understand this. All of us have a mission, and the first place that mission starts is in our home. I know there are many of you here this morning that maybe some of your family members, maybe some of your children aren't exactly in the place where you would like or wish that they would be as far as their walk with Jesus Christ. Maybe they're not following God like you would have them to. And maybe in your mind, in your heart, you're saying, it's because of me. Or maybe it's because I raised them. Or because maybe I didn't know the Lord at that time in my life when my kids really needed me. Here's what I want you to hear. It's never too late. If you are breathing, it is never too late. And I would encourage you to get together with some other brothers and sisters in Christ and get on your knees before God. And you pray, and you pray, and you ask God to do whatever he has to do. And sometimes that means you have to release them to God and the world. But don't ever stop praying for them. I know people in this church who've prayed for loved ones for 20 and 30 years. And because of those prayers, eventually they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I have 5 grandchildren right now. They're all under the age of 7. I have a 3-month-year-old by the name of Tate. We're getting to know each other. Every time I hold him and I look at him, his ears, his fingernails, his eyes, his hair, everything about him, and as I look at him, I want you to listen to something very carefully. I pray over him. I did it with all of my grandchildren. But not only do I do that when I carry him around, I put my mouth next to his ear as I did with all of my grandchildren, and I speak words of greatness into their lives. Pastor Bob, he's only 3 months old. I don't care. I want him to know that he has been chosen before the beginning of time. I want him to know that I believe God is watching over him and protecting him. I want him to hear the word of Jesus over and over and over again, even from a little baby. And I want him to know that God has big plans for him. And I want him to know that I will always be there to encourage him in his walk with his Lord and Savior. That's where it begins. You know what I'm really excited about this week? Is when all of us sit down to have devotions. And I'm going to have four little children under the age of 7 arguing about who gets to pray. I'm going to hit peer prayers about everything and anything, but I'm going to count it as great joy because they're seeking their Lord and Savior. And it doesn't stop there. It continues on by taking them to church. And I'm going to tell you and be honest with you, and sometimes kicking and screaming. You see, let me just tell you what I believe. I'm not going to allow my young grandchild to make an eternal decision that early in life. They're not capable of it. As adults, sometimes we struggle with that. And so I'm going to take them to church. In fact, in our house, it was never a discussion item. The kids knew. Don't ask Dad if we're going to church. Don't ask Mom if we're going to church. We're going to church. Why? Because the foundation is being laid. And I want you to know something, that just a little over a week ago, because of foundation that was laid in a young man's life who began to stray and walk down a different path at the age of 25, when the Lord called him home, it was that foundation that I preached on. It was that foundation, that baptism, that gave that family hope in the midst of a difficult time. I know there are times when sometimes our children may wander. Been there, done that. Anybody else? But I have to tell you that all through my life, I always heard that voice deep in my soul that was planted there by my grandparents calling me home. But you have to know where home is. And home is always with the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Lord calls us to go to our friends, to our coworkers, and to our neighbors. And he wants us to share the good news with them. And one of the things I hear a lot from people is, well, people aren't interested in spiritual issues anymore. You haven't been talking to people. Oh, they're interested in spiritual issues, believe me. One of the things that I'm really excited about this next 5 or 6 weeks is that it's Christmas. You know why I love Christmas? Because everybody celebrates Christmas, believers and non-believers. This is one of the greatest times that we can invite people into our midst. And when people ask us those questions about who this Jesus is, you don't have to know the answers. This is all you have to do. You don't have to know all the answers except to tell them about who you were before you met Jesus, how you met Jesus, and how Jesus has changed your life. That's all you have to do. They're not going to ask you to recite for them the catechism. What they're probably going to talk to you about is, there was a time in my life when I heard about Jesus or I went to Sunday school, but something happened that hurt me and pulled me away. So all you have to do is tell them about what Jesus has done in your life. Now, that's biblical, because isn't that what Jesus just told the man from Luke 8 to do? What did he tell him to do? He says, simply go and tell the people, your family, your friends, your neighbors, tell them what Jesus has done for you. How many of you want to see the results of what happened from that? Look at this. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Anybody know what this is the story of? This is the story of the feeding of the 4,000. This is the story that happened on the dark side. How do we know this? You know how we know this? Because of the term, the God of Israel. The people who were from the Decapolis, when they ever referred to Yahweh or the people's God of Israel, they always referred to him as the God of Israel. Now, here's what I want you to know. When Jesus told that man, you can't come with me, you need to go and start telling people what Jesus has done for you. Those 4,000 men and all of those people came because that one man that Jesus told him, you can't come with me, you go and tell what Jesus has done for you. He was the one responsible for all of those people coming. And how did it start, people? By sharing Jesus Christ in his home and what God had done for him. Here's the second thing. Dare to reach beyond your world. Dare to reach beyond your world. Look at this. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. Here's what I want us to understand, okay? As Christians, God has called us to build bridges. And you and I are the ones that are supposed to make the first move. I'm going to say that again. God has called us to build bridges with all of the rest of the world, the people who are in our surrounding, and we're the ones who are supposed to make the first move. So here's what I would like you to do. Take out this Christmas card here. Maybe it's not, you don't have it yet. Oh, you'll get it in a second. This is just a simple Christmas card, and on the back it tells us about the majesty of Christmas, tells us about our Christmas Eve service on here. And here's what I want you to do. Today, when you go out for lunch or brunch, whatever it is you're doing, I want you to take this. And here's what I want you to do. When your server comes up to take your order, I want you to ask her what her name is, or him, whoever it may be. And when you find them, or when you find out what their name is, I want you to call them by that name all through that time that they're serving you. When it's done, and you leave your tip, I want you to leave them a postcard. And here's all I want you to say. Let's say your server's name is Sally. Sally, we go to Central Community Church. It's Christmas time, and everybody celebrates Christmas. We've got some special opportunities to celebrate Christmas. I'm leaving you a postcard so you can pick which one you want to come to. That's all. That's all you have to do. How many of you can do that? No, just a few of us. Okay, all right, well. I'm starting over then. No. So after the service, right out at the desk out here at our volunteer station or Core Central or wherever you can go back there, they're going to have these cards. Don't take 20 of them. Just take one or two because we have to have some for the second service too. But just take one and just say, Sally, hey, we go to Central Community Church. We know everybody celebrates Christmas. There are a number of opportunities for you to choose from which one you want to come to. I left a card on your table. That's how we come to know Christ. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, I'm not sure that really works. We have a video of something that happened yesterday that not any of us knew about until somebody started watching Facebook. And I want you to notice, it's only 24 seconds long, but one of our neighbors across the street here was watching what was going on here. Watch the video.
The church across the street from my house is so amazing. Look what they do for people. This is their turkey drive dinner that they have for everybody. Look at that. They've been here since 4 o'clock this morning. The news said they'll serve about 2,500 families.
Isn't that awesome? Remember what we said? Somebody is always watching what we're doing, and it impacted them so much that they put something on Facebook about our church. Well, just so you know, two of our pastors went over and gave them a free turkey and a dinner. Okay? Here's the next thing I want you to look at here, okay? Look at this scripture verse. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. We're getting ready to do something that a lot of churches don't do. You know what that is? We're going to collect Christmas cookies for the inmates and the guards at the facility in Hutchinson. Now, we all can't go and deliver them, but I want you to know that these families are impacted more than what you could ever know. Walking about to these men who are in bars and giving them this gift, it's the greatest gift that they could receive. They don't have anything else. And all we simply do is we're doing exactly what this scripture verse has told us to do. When you bring those cookies, you know you're being obedient to this. Last week I was praying about this, and I was praying that we would have more cookies than we would know what to do with. And you know what happened to me last Sunday? Last Sunday, after I was done preaching in first service, I went out there, and a lady came up to me, and she said, I've been looking for a church home. She said, I saw that you guys take Christmas cookies to the inmates at the Hutchinson facility. And I said, yes, ma'am, we do. And she began to cry. And she said, last year, my brother and my nephew were in that facility. And for the last year, we didn't know who brought the cookies. And she said, I have found my church home. Isn't that incredible? That's what God is doing here. Here's the last one. Enlarge your vision for the whole world. Look at what the scripture is with this. And then he told them, go into the world and preach the good news to everyone. All right, we have been given a command by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's to go and make disciples of all nations, okay? You remember that when Jesus called his disciples, he said, I will make you fishers of men. What did he mean by that? Here's what he meant. If we're not fishing for men, ladies and gentlemen, we're not following Jesus. If we're not fishing for men, we're not following Jesus. The Bible tells us how it's all supposed to begin. Jesus said, you go into Jerusalem and you wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he said he would give them the power to do what they needed to do. And it started in Jerusalem, it went on to Judea, and then into Samaria, and then into the rest of the world. So what does that look like for us here at Central Community? It looks like this. It starts in your home, it goes to our church, into our community, into the state of Kansas, into the United States, and then all throughout the rest of the world. Right now, there are a little bit more than 5,000 people groups who have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those numbers are getting smaller and smaller each and every year. And what God has done through the internet is he has made the world smaller. We can now reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ across the world without even leaving your couch. We have people who are watching today online from Israel. Do you think that God is doing a work in and amongst us? I want to close my message with something from Psalm 116. I found this week, and it's verse 10, and just listen to what it says here. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. I'm going to read that one more time. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. Here's what I believe God is telling us. Belief leads to speaking. When you possess the gospel of Jesus Christ, you are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't separate the two. So here's what I see then. If we're not proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ like God is calling us to do so, it's because we haven't believed. The Bible tells us you cannot stop speaking if you believe. And so what we have to do is, I believe God is saying, you got to believe what I've given you to do. If you're worried about that you can only do it in your own might and power, you're going to have problems. But remember my promise, I will be with you to the end of the age. I will give you the power to do what I've called you to do. I just need you to be obedient. I'm going to show you a short video of what yesterday looked like. And I want to tell you, I am so proud of this church. And here's why, because we're starting to get it. There were more volunteers than we've ever had before. And you know what was neat about the volunteers? The volunteers were getting to know each other and new life groups were formed. But there was a lot of ministry that was done. I remember I was walking through the parking lot. The cars were stacked together. I had a captive audience. And there was a lady's window who was down, and she was crying. I asked her, I said, ma'am, I said, what are you crying about? And she said, my son committed suicide. And then before I could get out a word, she said, last night. She said, I came here because I know this place cares about people. And I wouldn't be able to have a Thanksgiving meal if it weren't for this church. I didn't tell her who I was. But I did pray for her, and I said, you're welcome here anytime you want. I had people who were waiting in line who wrote notes of thank you cards and handed them to me. Now I want you to watch and see what happened, because we didn't just give out 2,500 bags to feed 2,500 people. Each one of those bags could feed anywhere from 4 to 6 people. You know how many thousands of people that God allowed us to feed? Watch and see.
How many people came together to be here and just working alongside each other, and you know, people who don't know each other, seeing people, you know, build relationships through volunteering. That's just been really fun.
To see 400 of our people just come and bless people who drove up was just amazing. The first car got here at about 12:30 this morning. We had a group of people who actually spent the night here so that they could lead well this morning, and we've already seen, I'd say, you know, over 700 cars that have gone through. The cars are backed up all the way almost to Town West Mall, and we've utilized every parking spot available to bring cars in off of the street so that we can get them fed. And so we're excited about what the Lord's doing here through Central Community. We're excited about how we can minister to people. We pray this wouldn't just stop today, but that it would continue on throughout this week of Thanksgiving and on through the Christmas season, that they would want to come back and share in the hope and joy that we've shown.
Isn't that great? Now, as I've told you before, I'm a risk taker, and I'm a believer in dreams. And you know what? I'm believing that that line that went all the way down to West Street is going to be someday going to look be what it looks like on a Sunday morning. when they're on their way to church. Because we met a physical need, and that opened the door for us to meet a spiritual need. When you go out today, this is my prayer for us. Let's ask God to give us something to do that we can't do on our own. Let's pray that God would give us a mission so great in this world that unless He shows up, we fall flat on our face. Let's ask God to give to us a death-defying opportunity to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ. Has God been good to you? Are you thankful for the salvation that He's given to you? And don't you want to go to the rest of the world and share the good news of Jesus Christ? Because this is what it could look like. Watch.
On that day, almost all the village expressed belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. There was a sense of tremendous relief. The Mok are generally a restrained people, but as the gospel sunk in and new believers sensed the liberation from sin, spontaneous rejoicing broke out. Watch what happened. Village believers stating that he too believes that Christ has paid for his sins. Itao, which means it's true or it's good, it's very true. Village grandma rejoicing that he believes, so does she. Different ones giving testimony as to their belief in Christ as their sin bearer. Mark saying that if they really are believing, then God's word says that their sin is forgiven. Itao, it's good, it's true. Spontaneous rejoicing breaks out. This went on for 2.5 hours.
So let's close with the question I started with. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you?